Hi, everybody. Cheryl Atkison here. Welcome to another edition of the Cheryl Atkison Podcast. Today, as we close out 2022, we will discuss 11 trends and hard truths. Sometimes we are so mired in debating the minutiae that we lose sight of the obvious big picture. It distracts us. Today, as we close out 2022, I thought it might be a good idea to identify and discuss 11 trends and hard truths for the sake of saying things out loud that the media should be reporting on and investigating fairly, but too often is not. You'll see what I mean as we get into the list. At number one, I put illegal immigration and the record numbers we're seeing. And each day, it's discussed in some media, but it's just another day that makes it impossible to go back. Even if the border were to be secured immediately, which it's not, we will be dealing forever with the fallout of the unrestricted illegal border crossings in terms of the expense to us, the expense in terms of crime, impact on our schools, our already stressed healthcare and welfare system. Every single day that goes by, it becomes worse and even less controllable. And I'll mention a subplot here. The fascinating change in terminology adopted by nearly everyone, suddenly calling immigrants migrants or illegal immigrants migrants. There was no legitimate reason to change the definition of migrants to use the word this way. It long referred to those who move around and return home, not the illegal border crossers who clearly intend to stay, or who are drug dealers and human traffickers. And there's no legitimate reason the news media should be going along with this change in terminology, but they are. I've spoken of this before, how sadly easy it is for propagandists to get us to swallow their narratives when they control just a few key sources of information, such as the news media and the internet / social media. Some of you may have heard the podcast where at the end of an interview, I asked a conservative attorney why she was using the term migrant instead of immigrant or illegal immigrant. And she said something like, well, that's a really good question. I don't know, except I was sitting in the green room preparing to go on the air at Fox News, and I heard someone else on the air use the term migrant, and I started using it too. So illegal immigration remains a major elephant in the room, a hard truth that is too seldom reported on accurately and fairly or given the attention commensurate with its importance. Number two, I've chosen COVID. There are so many giant stories about COVID that fall into this category. There is the fallout from the vaccine firings in the military, now rescinded, but the damage has been done. Many have been either forced to take a vaccine that has adverse events and could be causing serious illness among the troops. And there is strong evidence from some inside whistleblowers, flight surgeons, and others who have observed what they say are very serious and fairly rampant adverse events from the COVID vaccine, but were punished for reporting them or punished into silence. But meantime, the military was already having trouble recruiting enough candidates to keep our military strong and in full force. But after the vaccine firings, we're in really serious trouble by many accounts. And beyond the military, there were many firings, for example, in the municipal and state and federal government. In New York recently, a court ordered that 1,700 plus people who were fired over vaccine mandates should get their jobs back. What is New York doing? It's appealing the case. And there are major health impacts that could affect all of us in some way because so many healthcare workers were fired or lost their jobs because they refused to get vaccinated. And we now have, we already have the start of it, but we now have a very severe hospital worker shortage with hospitals closing down, shutting off services, reporting that they're having a hard time filling roles of nurses and other key officials. In New York State, a survey recently showed 100% of the hospitals say they're having trouble filling nurse openings and are cutting back on services to try to mitigate serious staffing shortages. And then there are the health impacts of those who were vaccinated and suffer adverse events, not able to work in some cases, in some instances permanently disabled. This is a huge cost to us, and we don't even know how large it's going to ultimately be. We know there's something pretty dramatic happening in regards to our youth. Among those who are vaccinated, many say needlessly, since Young people, by and large, suffer no ill adverse events from COVID, but do suffer adverse events that could stretch into the long term from COVID vaccines, such as heart problems. If you want to learn more about that, you can always go to my website, CherylAtkisson.com. And under the Health tab, you can see my investigations tracking peer-reviewed published studies about the health impact of COVID vaccines, what we're learning, government alerts from around the world about all of this. That's at CherylAtkisson.com on the Health tab. I don't know of any other resource like the ones that I've created that are tracking all of these things. Number three on my list, the high cost of college. With all the discussion and debate lately seeming to be focused on loan forgiveness, or more accurately, the proposal to transfer the cost of outstanding student loans to taxpayers, that would do nothing to cure the big problem as I see it, the overinflated and unjustifiable cost of a college education. You know, it's the same syndrome with health costs. The fact that the government is ensuring these bills will get paid through our money ultimately by loans, grants, scholarships, Medicare, it only ensures that the corporations, the academic institutions, the healthcare companies, it only ensures that they can charge outrageous amounts of money for the services. Because if it weren't for the government, medical insurance, the government's medical insurance, the government guaranteed grants, loans, etc., then few could afford the price, the overinflated price of medical and education costs, and the price would by necessity have to come down. The system has become perverted and ended up creating a larger problem than existed when it first stepped in to try to resolve it. The government could solve these problems, these overinflated high costs that we're paying, but it will not because elected officials are part of the system that benefits. They get donations from the industries, the academic institutions and colleges, the hospitals, the insurance industry, pharmaceutical companies. They get donations to act on their behest so that they stay in office. So their solutions by necessity will continue to feather their nests, always at our expense. Number four on my list, January 6th. It has been so successfully controversialized that even Republicans are apologizing for it and talking about how people should be prosecuted and backing away from investigations surrounding some of the things that seem fishy about January 6th. Well, I'll say it. To me, it stands out clearly as one of the most outrageous events of our time in terms of how it's been treated and prosecuted by government officials. Clearly, there are political motivations, outrageous double standards, with what seems to me, all things considered, an obvious plan in advance to controversialize anyone who turned out that day to support Donald Trump and question the 2020 elections so that they would be neutralized for the future, and that anyone else who dared to think of questioning an election or supporting Donald Trump would understand that they risked losing their reputations, their jobs. Maybe they'd even be investigated and arrested for things that people are rarely arrested for in other contexts. Stay tuned for my report on that on Full Measure. Number five, the infiltration of transgenderism in medicine, media, politics, education, advertising, you name it, and it's typically presented in a very slanted, one-sided way. And part of what makes this so interesting to me is the topic was virtually unheard of other than a mental health discussion largely limited to a psychiatric diagnosis just a couple of years ago, but suddenly it's everywhere. When I was covering a story over the summer in the United Kingdom, I spoke to a liberal member of parliament who noted off camera, we weren't even talking about this topic, but he brought up lobbying and he talked about the power of what he called the transgender lobby. And he noted that nowhere was this a topic of discussion there in terms of campaigns and elections in 2016, or even, he said, in 2020. But now, he said, it's everywhere. It's no accident. Like other narratives, there are organized and well-funded efforts, and as I've written in my books, these powerful forces have been able to co-opt nearly every form of information in order to make fringe beliefs and opinions appear to be the norm, shared by nearly everyone, and to silence and controversialize the majority, making them feel as though they are the fringe and shouldn't be heard. But one thing I've begun to think about in this realm as I've continued to get notices, say from CDC, medical journals, trying to keep abreast of some news on that front, how much money and effort is being spent pandering to these interests. There is so much effort being put into articles and research on supposed racism and discrimination in health. Let me give you a recent example. There was an article in the British journal Lancet. Actually, they did a whole series, it says, on racism, xenophobia, discrimination, and health. The summary of this series reads as follows. Racism, xenophobia, and discrimination exist in every modern society, causing avoidable disease and premature death among groups who are already disadvantaged. This series examines how the historic systems and structures of power and oppression and discriminatory ideologies have shaped policy and practice today and are root causes of racial health inequities. Furthermore, this description goes on to say, by applying a global lens and intersectional framework, what does that even mean? Overlapping forms of oppression such as age, gender, and socioeconomic status and their impact on discrimination are analyzed. Interventions to address the spectrum of drivers of adverse health outcomes with a focus on the structural, societal, legal, human right, institutional, and system level are reviewed. Research recommendations and key approaches for moving forward are proposed. How much in resources did this series by The Lancet take to produce when there are so many important immediate concerns like chronic health issues that are destroying our country in some respects, like the global decline in fertility that is largely unexplained and unexamined by our public health officials, when so many of those things seem to be virtually ignored? It's almost as if we're being distracted. And speaking to the idea of this being a narrative instead of sort of a legitimate position that's scientifically examined is the fact that it's always presented, it seems, as if it's a fact that these things, which are matters of opinion and in many instances fringe beliefs, that these are factual and undebatable and presented as if they are established rather than something to be discussed where there are people on different sides who have different views about it. I think that's a big part of the tell when it comes to all of this being a managed trend by propagandists and certain interests. We'll continue with our list after a short break.
Eyeshadow has come a long way since you swiped on one color at a time or practically had to take a masterclass in cosmetics to get the shading right. Hi, I'm Star, owner of the Lemonade Mermaid, and I've designed an exclusive shade-shifting multichrome pigment for eyes that's like no other you'll ever see. Just swipe it on your eyelids and the magic happens. Depending on the angle and light, it shifts between hues of golden pink or green and pink and even purple and gold. The shading is done for you. Just $25 for a jar that will last you months. My website is store.lemonademermaid.life. And listeners of this podcast can get 20% off these incredible pigments by using the checkout code PODCAST. I hope to see you at store.lemonademermaid.life today.
Continuing now with my list of 11 trends and hard truths. This one, number 6, is a little bit related to the one we just mentioned. The number 5 trend, infiltration of transgenderism in medicine, media, politics, etc. This is about the health crises, the many health crises we face, the rampant chronic health issues, the autism, the autoimmune disorders, the new diseases such as POTS, with the government only funding research on issues it seems that the pharmaceutical industry wants to be funded and finding answers only that the industries and special interests want to be found, sometimes, in fact, funding counter studies to drown out or negate independent studies that raise issues about our health problems. Since it is not in any industry's interest to identify the multi-exposure causes that are likely behind many of our really big health issues, the studies that would examine such things, they won't be funded. The scientists will tell you, as they tell me, that they have to propose studies in areas that the government wants in order to get the grants or the money to do the studies. So I would argue that much, if not most, legitimate research that needs to be done to answer important health questions about what's happening to our population, that most of that research is being blocked or not funded. Number 7, I call this government control. The government is so tied into funding everyone and everything today. It's gotten so large and so pervasive, including private companies through contracts and incentives, that it can control private industry policies far outside what is supposed to be the government's reach, I think. COVID vaccine was one such example. By threatening to punish hospitals by withholding Medicare payments, it could force policies on hospitals. By refusing to reimburse for certain treatments, it can make sure that certain treatments for medical problems, even if they're important and effective, aren't used. This is especially dangerous when the government takes part in corrupt or politically motivated agendas. Number 8 on my list, I've put scientific fraud. I've reported and written much on how the scientific and medical industries have been largely taken over by vested interests, making it very difficult to get accurate, pure medical information. It silences legitimate medical debate. Some of the best evidence for this has come from top scientists at medical journals, such as Lancet's Dr. Richard Horton and Dr. Marcia Angel, formerly of the New England Journal of Medicine. These editors have said that much or most science in published journals, including their own, is not to be believed today due to the undue influence of the pharmaceutical industry on studies and what gets published and what gets said, and maybe just as important, what doesn't get published or doesn't get said. It's scary because this is the information that your doctor and mine typically rely on, and they seem to have little awareness at times as to how this information has been co-opted and shouldn't be relied upon. Number 9 on my list, FBI and intel agency corruption. This is one of the biggest stories of our time, I think, and again, underreported. The widespread corruption at high levels in our intelligence agencies, as exposed in many different ways, but just look at the schemes to frame Donald Trump, including committing criminal activity on their part, though very often lightly prosecuted, if at all. Recall that former FBI Director James Comey was once referred for criminal charges by the Inspector General, but the Department of Justice took a pass. Only one FBI lawyer was prosecuted in one of the most outrageous schemes of its kind, doctoring a document to obtain a secret wiretap on a Trump campaign associate, Carter Page. So many things wrong with this. Carter Page, by the way, never got so much as an apology, and his case was thrown out in court, partly because federal officials and agents have broad immunity for their actions, even crimes, and who's going to change that law? That attorney for the FBI didn't even get jail time for his crime. Think of it. And there seemed to be no effort at all to identify and prosecute the others who were in that chain, signing off on false information or staying silent about it. Number 10 on the list, and this is related, corruption when it comes to those wiretaps, the spying on American citizens, abuse of the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Amid many scandals with FBI wiretaps to try to spy on people in the FISA court, there was a sampling done after the fact to see if there were FBI lapses in the wiretap applications involving other cases. And according to the sampling done, the FBI made mistakes, or we'll call them lapses, in every wiretap that was examined. Nothing came of that, from what I can tell. Nobody was held accountable. The people who were spied upon improperly were not notified. Their private information that was arguably improperly collected was not ordered to be destroyed. And all of this is not to mention what seems to be the unconstitutional and possibly illegal involvement of intel agencies in big tech to censor information and promote false information at times for political and corporate reasons. And as long as we're mentioning improper spying by the FBI, I may as well mention my ongoing case. Yes, my case is still going, where I'm suing FBI and agents for improperly spying on me while I was a CBS News investigative correspondent. This case, or some form of it, has been going on for something like 7 years. The good news is I have received a clerk's default, a win of sorts against a former federal agent, At the end of the whole case, if all goes according to plan, the judge will hold a trial to determine the amount of damages I will receive from this ex-federal agent. I don't think I will see a dollar of money from him because I don't think he has money and he's been very difficult to find. But that wasn't really the point of all this. I pursued the lawsuit because the Department of Justice has decided long ago not to hold the guilty agents responsible, even though the spying on me by government entities was confirmed repeatedly by forensics, and they know this. But when the spying implicates Department of Justice agents and FBI, and the Department of Justice and the FBI are the ones who would prosecute the guilty parties, how does one get justice? As I've tried to do this in civil court at the expense of hundreds of thousands of dollars while they're spending your tax money defending the guilty agents, it's been drawn out for years and years. What's left? The case against another ex-federal agent who was a Secret Service agent at the time he was spying on me, working on a task force out of the Baltimore U.S. Attorney's Office under then U.S. Attorney Rod Rosenstein. But one more weird, seemingly corrupt part of this whole system is to get the information, to get all of the names behind this task force that was spying not just on me, but on a whole lot of people. And I believe there were multiple operations doing the same, probably still doing so today, since nobody has ever been punished for it. But to be able to identify with certainty all the names involved, we need proper discovery. We need to depose and question those who were involved. We need to hopefully have a court trial where we can get more evidence. And that's the hard part. I once thought that as soon as we had confirmed with indisputable forensics, such as IP addresses belonging to the government found in my computer, as soon as we had confirmed that the intrusions happened, that was all I would have to do to get an apology from the government and some semblance of accountability. But it turns out it's more like a game. And I'll bet a lot of you have been involved in court battles where you feel much the same. It's not so much about what's right and wrong. It's about who has the most money, who can use the law to their advantage, the technical aspects of it, rather than looking at it from a common sense standpoint. Gee, Cheryl Akeson was spied on improperly by the government. What should we do about it? It's a game of, well, are these government officials liable or do they have immunity? Which, by the way, they have immunity under our law from liability, as I mentioned, for a lot of these things. You have to get past that hurdle. And to get the information, believe it or not, we have to get their permission, the permission of what we believe are the guilty parties, to depose the guilty parties to get the information. And so far, what a shock. They are denying us permission to talk to most of the people we need to talk to who have the information. Sort of the circular catch-22. However, we fight onward. Now we have made it to the final item on our 2022 list of 11 trends and hard truths. And I saved what I think is a positive one for last. It is the takeover of the giant Twitter by Elon Musk. This is arguably the single most important development when it comes to censorship and the government and private industry's grip on our information. I've written about these things in my book, Slanted and the Smear, how these industries and government have intertwined to make sure they can control virtually every aspect of information that we access. It's sad to me that it took a scorned billionaire, Elon Musk. Remember, Musk has notably been left out of the Biden administration invites on car and green energy discussions because apparently he doesn't support or use organized labor and labor unions. It took this scorned billionaire to do the job that the news media, elected officials, intel agencies all failed miserably to do. It's one of the biggest stories of our time and still being widely ignored or slanted by the news media. In this age of a highly controlled media landscape, it's never been more important to fight the heavy hand of censorship and support truly independent journalism. Go to CherylAkeson.com and click the store tab for a great way to do that. There are all kinds of cool products. A lot of them make great gifts that feature catchphrases like, I tested positive for critical thinking, and do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself. Proceeds support independent journalism causes like the Cheryl Akeson Ion Awards for off-narrative, accurate reporting. go to CherylAckison.com and click the store tab. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that if so, you'll leave a great review, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends. Check out my other podcast, Full Measure After Hours, and now you can support independent journalism by visiting CherylAckison.com and clicking the store tab. There are some thought-provoking and fun products designed exclusively for independent and free thinkers like you, with proceeds benefiting independent reporting causes. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.